Welcome back after quite a hiatus to the S3 Magazine podcast. Is that what we still call this thing?
Sure.
I am Wooly. Red Hat Man is, you know, none other than Mike Sanders. And then what are you even wearing? The guy in the weird sweatshirt, I guess it doesn't matter. This is a podcast. Happy y'all ain't watching it anyway. So that dude over there is Ben Battles.
Looks like you're wearing a marble countertop.
I did. Straight from Walmart.
This looks very greasy. Anyway, Ben Battles, aka Battles Digital, on the social media platforms. If you don't already follow him, which statistically you probably do, go ahead and go follow him. Anyway, what we're talking about, here we go again. We're talking about cops crashing the party. This time it was Riverside, which is a very much loved event in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I guess it went down on April 7th. I know that because that was my anniversary. And believe it or not, my wife did not surprise me with a trip to Riverside for my anniversary. I was doing something else, so I didn't get to go. So, and you know, me and Mike are a package deal, so Mike didn't go. But Ben, you did go. And it was great, and then it turned into, like, not so great. Do you want to fill us in? Because we're hearing about this for kind of the first time.
Yeah, I mean, first off, the show was great, as always. I mean, Mason and all the guys over at Riverside did a fantastic job putting on the show, as always. And the phrase, a couple bad apples tend to spoil the bag, definitely comes to mind on this one. Basically, from what I saw, and I took a poll on Facebook for a couple of days, trying to gauge what exactly happened. Basically, there after the show on Saturday, everybody got out of the show and started going to various locations for a little after meets after the show. This is something that's happened ever since basically the very first Riverside. Everybody just goes and kind of there's either an official after meet or so-and-so's throwing something or be here at this time. And so everybody just kind of scatters to all these different places. Well, apparently some folks were taken to the streets and doing some irresponsible hooning around, sliding their cars, being loud, got the attention of the local law enforcement. And so I went to one of these little meets after, you know, just trying to get some last second footage, you know, capture some images like I typically do. And this particular one happened to be right in front of our local library. There's a very large parking lot. It's actually where a lot of the pre-meets in previous years was held. It holds about 150 or so cars around the lot. And then there's plenty of street parking around it and adjacent lots next to it. So tons of cars. It's like the spot to go if you're going to have a meet downtown. So I go, I park in the parking garage across the street. I walk over. Everything's chill for about 5-10 minutes. All the spots had just started to get like completely filled in the main lot. All of a sudden, there's police completely surrounding, I want to say about 6 police cars surround the block. I mean, it's just one lot. And they pulled some people over. And I was like, that's a little strange. They didn't appear to be doing anything. I didn't see where they came from down the road or whatever, but they had those people pulled over. And then within a matter of about 5 or 10 minutes, we look up in the air and there's this huge drone. I mean, about like a 5-foot nearly wide drone up in the air. I was like, that's a little strange for somebody to be flying a drone that big. Like, I was looking on it, I'm just trying to figure out like what kind of cameras on this thing. But if you guys saw like my Facebook post about this drone, it ended up being from the police. The Chattanooga Police Department has purchased a drone apparently and put it up in the air and told everyone over the loudspeaker on that drone, if you do not disperse, you may be arrested, and blared that all the way across the parking lot. So naturally, everybody started to leave the lot in an orderly fashion because there was obviously police at every corner of the lot, and there's only a couple ways in and out of this lot. And as they were leaving, police started pulling people over right there for anything from what I gathered, tint, loud exhaust or modified exhaust, modified suspension, specifically lowered, and then additionally camber. So all of that being pulled over for, several tickets were issued there on the spot. I talked to somebody that actually had a ticket written for them for a windshield banner in their front window, which at Riverside, you know, these same police officers, I don't know if they were exactly the same police officers, but the same precinct, Chattanooga Police Department, was on the scene at Riverside, and did not seem to have a problem with it. Matter of fact, all the cops we talked to at Riverside were super cool. And were like, if you need anything, to any of the vendors and people, they were very vocal. We are here to help you. And then just to be less than an hour after the show had came to an end, having them say, actually, you know what? No, all of you guys, you're getting pulled over. You're getting ticketed, all this. The Chattanoogan reported that over 300 citations were handed out over Saturday. And it just seems like there's probably a better way to go about things. I'll let you guys kind of talk about it. Mike, I saw your video that you posted like a couple hours ago at this point. I think you talked about it really, really well, how like events like Riverside, when things like this happen, there's kind of like a slippery slope effect. And we've seen this with like H2O up in Ocean City, Maryland in the past. You know, we've all seen the decline of these shows, which is rather unfortunate. But I think there's still time to, here's the good thing. I think there's still time to, you know, establish better relationships with local law enforcement on this and kind of come up with a better game plan. Because at the end of the day, you know, like you said, I can also see both sides of it. I can see where people are getting pissed that people are doing burnouts basically in their driveways here in downtown Chattanooga. And then they call the cops and the cops see a bunch of loud cars and be like, oh, yeah, it's got to be one of them. Pull them over, write them tickets for X, Y, and Z. And then I see on the other side is like, hey, we're just having a peaceful meet here. There's nobody, none of those delinquents out here revving their engines or anything like that. Like, we're all just trying to have a good time. You know, so that was my take on it and what I saw there. One more thing I do want to mention is that one of the guys that hosts a lot of the local meets just in general had an after meet as well. And it was like 20 minutes outside of downtown, like still within like Chattanooga police jurisdiction, but well out of the downtown area. And that same drone got flown up in the air at that meet that happens every Saturday, and has never once been pulled out until this weekend. So it seemed like it was a little bit targeted, but that's just me.
Yeah, it sounds a little orchestrated. I think the main question we need to ask to kind of get things started here, one thing we need to know the answer to is, who pulled the trigger on it? Who actually called it out? Because whenever it comes to something like that and tickets are just being thrown out like water, it's because someone set a status quo of this is what we're going to do in this situation. So was it the police chief? Was it just a bunch of cops that got together and said, screw this, we're done with these guys being in our town? Or was it a city official? You know, I'd say it's probably going to be a city official if I had to guess. But yeah, I mean, and that is who Mason Gavin, the guy who runs Riverside Chattanooga, needs to go and talk to and have a real sit down, a real heart to heart, and just say, look, I will do everything I can to calm my people down, as long as you get your people to not be so damn abrasive and so crazy and trying to run us out of town, because it was ridiculous on both sides. And we've seen this happen before. SOWO, H2O, hell, it happened to us here at Road Atlanta, like what, 2 years ago at Grid Life?
Yeah.
I mean, where cops just show up in the full force of their sole purpose is to run you out of town. And sometimes that's warranted, but most of the time it is absolutely not. At least the times that I've been part of it, I think every single time the cops have like really, really stepped way over the line. At the same time, when you got people out there racing and popping off with huge flames and revving like crazy, especially in a small, sleepy little town like Chattanooga, like, you know, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'll give my two cents. I heard you say, you know, somebody was drifting around a little bit or raising a little bit of hell. Look, just to play devil's advocate here, we live in the era of takeovers, and takeovers are extremely dangerous. It doesn't represent car culture. It represents anarchy. And they're highly publicized. They go viral. You know, everybody's filming them. And I don't think that the average cop, and I guarantee you the average Karen that lives downtown, does not know the difference between a takeover and car enthusiasts and car culture. So you start hearing, you know, some popping off, some screeching, some drifting, some blow-up valves, some all that kind of stuff. And the cops don't know exactly what they're dealing with. They know it could get out of hand quick, and they're going to stop it and ask questions later. You know what I mean? Like, I think if they start getting the calls, they're going to be like, shut it the hell down. We've seen this stuff on social media. It ain't happening in our town. Shut it down. And you get a little bit of adrenaline mixed in there. And you know, they start throwing down the law, you know. And just like it only takes one douchebag at a car event to kind of screw up the whole thing, all it takes is one, you know, cop puffing up his chest on some sort of ego trip to kind of make all the cops look bad. And somebody said in a comment on Mike's thing, like, we all just need to do better, you know, like we all just need to cool down a little bit and do better. It sounds like the drone was their new toy, and they wanted to play with their new toy. I think that ultimately, if this is, I mean, we can all, you know, bitch about the cops. We've all been harassed by the cops, but there's also good cops out. I mean, dude, cops have been chasing hot rodders since the dawn of hot rodding. Like, it's nothing new. But there's a difference between that and harassment. And you know, pulling people over for a stupidly cambered car or a loud exhaust or a windshield banner, that's harassment. That is them saying, you're going to pay the toll. We know you're not going to come back and fight this. We're not going to make it expensive enough to really hurt you. We're just going to collect money from each and every one of you little pricks that came in our town. I think that Chattanooga is an up-and-coming car culture hub. It is very well located. They've got a lot of professional events coming in here. They've got a lot of affluent events, like the one in October, the Motor Car Festival or whatever they call it. And I think that Chattanooga needs to ease up a little bit and decide if they want that revenue or if they don't. Because You can't profile. You can't pick and choose. You can't say we want the rich guys, but we don't want the young enthusiasts. That's not fair, and that's not what cops should be doing. I think that Mason, if you really want to handle it, I think that Mason needs to go to the local businesses and say, we hope that our event was a success for you, for your restaurant, for your hotel. And if it was, and you want to see this continue to happen, we ask you to please contact your local representative, your sheriff, and express that you want this here, that it was good for your business, and an overbearing police department is bad for your business. I know that all those Airbnbs are booked up. I know that all the downtown hotels are booked up, and I know that the restaurants are selling a lot of food and beverage, and so I would assume that they want it there. I have a friend named Paul Aspen that lives in Montana that used to do events. And he said in a comment, he goes, you know, I'm sure Mason probably does this, but he said, we used to hire them. You know, we would hire the cops, and the cop presence not only keeps it from getting stupid, but it also keeps the cops from getting stupid because they know it's coming. They're not getting surprised. They're aware of what's happening, and they're going to approach it in a cooler way. I think, you know, I mean, that's the answer. And you guys are absolutely, we don't want this to be another, you know, another H2O, another SOWO, another Gatlinburg. And these things happen. I mean, it's part of getting popular. And Riverside is a great event. And you can't control you really can't control everybody after the event. You know, you just have to urge people to do the right thing on both sides. Just prepare people and urge people. So that's kind of what I mean, It's kind of the way I see it. It's kind of cut and dry. Luckily, like you said, it got a little ugly, but aside from some tickets, like this is just a lesson learned for next year to make it even better.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I mean, Mason does hire a good amount of police presence there at Riverside. It seems like it gets stepped up every year. Like there were actually some very nice police officers that were handling traffic outside of the event. Like the vendor lot is located just adjacent to the main show lot itself. Yeah. And they had police that were on both sides of the traffic blocking lanes so that people could go by in their trailers constantly, which was like a really huge plus, and that's, I think that's great, is, thinking ahead and stuff like that. So I think, like you said, in the future, you can only improve on what you have, right? And I have no doubt in my mind that any of the guys over at Riverside will, fumble this bag essentially going into the future with it. I think this was like a live and learn experience. This was a new experience and kind of seeing reaction versus action this year from the department. But I think it's going to be all right. There's still time to salvage what we've got.
Yeah, it only takes one cop in the right position on a power trip. And me and Mike have seen that happen. It brings up grid life in Atlanta. It was a clear one because the guy in charge, man, was coming in with his chest puffed up. And that event was running people out of the event. I mean, this was at Road Atlanta. And he's like saying, you can't be here. And they're like, we paid for a ticket. We're camping here. This is a camping event, and he was, and if you tried to reason with him, he would, threaten to arrest you. It was out of line. And it only takes one like that. It seems a little weird and suspect to me. Like, and dude, this has been going on. You should have seen back in the day at Nopi Nationals. I mean, that's before drones and social media, but entire just parking lot, hotel park, like it was packed with cars, and they bring in like the real helicopters and they tell you to leave, but where are you gonna go? It just all went to the next. You left because you couldn't be there. You didn't want to be the last one there, but like then everybody scattered to the road, which is worse. It seems suspect to me that the cops brought their little toy drone out there and told everybody to go home. And then as soon as they leave the parking lot, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. As soon as they get, out on public streets, they just start pulling all of them. That was kind of shitty. But again, we don't know everything that happened. We don't know what they, saw or had to deal with out of our line of vision. There could have been some shenanigans going on and they said, all right, we're going to shut this down before we lose control of it. You know what I mean? And we also don't see what they see. We see the fun, wild side of it, of, laying drag and having a good time. They see the tragic part of it when it all goes wrong. So in a lot of ways, they're protecting us from our own freaking stupidity. And I hate to side with a cop. I must be getting old. But like, $100 ticket's a small price to pay if it keeps, keeps you and everybody you love safe. So like I said, I think we all just need to go, okay, that maybe could have been handled better. Let's do better, like all around. Let's just do better. The last thing we want is to not be able to hang out. It's stupid. This is, car culture is a positive outlet. You know what I mean? Like, it's not perfect. Like, part of it is, the driving and the thrill and all that, but it is a positive outlet. It teaches good character traits, builds good character traits, and it should be supported. Overall.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So what the hell else do we have to talk about?
I got something. On a positive note, the car that I have been building for 2.5 years with one of my best friends in the entire world, Jake, is done. And we unveiled it at Riverside. And it was the car that started with S3 Magazine. And it's like this whole project. And for those of you unaware, it is the all-wheel drive lifted Civic that's been through like several iterations. Basically, what ended up happening was we started with this car, a 96 Civic, and built this custom all-wheel drive kit from sponsors at HRG Off-Road, S1 Built, and turned it into this monster. And then the automatic transmission that we had hooked up to it was giving us the worst fit of all time. Tried to diagnose it, kept going.
Who told you not to build an automatic right out the gate? Because it was stupid.
I think it was some guy named Wooly. I don't know. Probably also Mike, too. Yeah, but lessons learned. Fast forward 2.5 years minus 3 weeks. We have a bare shell on the lift, and we're like, let's five-speed swap it and do it right and do it like that. And so in the course of less than 3 weeks, keep in mind 2.5 years, in the course of the past 3 weeks, turned a bare shell into what people saw at Riverside, which was just absolutely unbelievable. Like, it was a wreck, a mess. We ended up pulling the entire front end from the old car because I had already bought headlights and a couple other things, and I liked the way that front end looked. Pulled that from the old car, grafted it onto the newer facelifted body style, and like de-facelifted it. I did the same thing with the trunk. 6-inch lift instead of like a 3-inch lift like we were initially planning on. Much bigger tires that actually... I had to bash in the firewall and then cut the fender to the firewall to get it to just turn a little bit, because it's a 2-inch backspace wheel. So it's like the tires stick out a lot, like more than half past the fender. But yeah, there's just like all these absurdities just to say it's in the flesh. It like any true project car, it's never truly done, but we have a great canvas, I guess you could say, to start with. So I'm very proud of that car. I'm very happy that I got to unveil it at my favorite show of the year, Riverside, and looking forward to next year, where it's just going to be even bigger and badder than it was this year.
Oh yeah, congratulations. I'd have lost $100 saying you'd never have that one finished.
Yeah, no, trust me, up until about 3 weeks ago, I was like, this is never going to happen. Then all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to put a deadline on it. And that was the worst decision of my life. I think I've lost more hair, got more gray hair, been more stressed, never felt more heart palpitations in my entire life than the past 3 weeks. But it's all good now. I'm like, I'm taking 2 weeks off. We're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet,
yeah.
Man.
I know.
All right. Well, what the hell else we got? You know, they make Jeep Cherokees. They made them for like 10 years in the 90s, 2000s.
Even better. You know, they made Honda CRVs. That's the number one comment I got on the post. It's like, this is just a CRV with extra steps. I'm like, you're not wrong. It's literally a CRV.
Shut the hell up.
Stop. Yeah, somebody's like, why would you do that and not just buy a CRV? And at the end of my response, I said, I guess I'm just allergic to money. And I remember you saying that on the last podcast we did. It's like I titled the car the most expensive $300 Civic of all time. We paid $300 for the shell that you saw. It's rusted out. I tell people, don't look too close, it'll fall apart. But we've like reinforced the whole chassis, and it's just like this lipstick on a pig car, but it's there and it runs. I got to drive it after Riverside was over. Like, we couldn't pull the trailer in because there were so many other trailers already in position around us. So me and Jake were like, let's drive this thing. And I got to actually drive it on the road for the first time. And it was like the best feeling. It was just like, all right, we're there. It's all good. Like, it's uphill from here. You know, we're good. You know, it's in the flesh. It's all one cohesive piece together. All, I don't know. Yeah.
That's all car culture is finding creative ways to incinerate money and stress yourself out.
This was it.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Mike, you want to close us out or do we have more to talk about?
No, I think it's about all I got, man. We got some cool stuff coming up. So definitely keep tabs of us. If you guys haven't downloaded our app, please go ahead and do it. We have it for Android and Apple. It's just the S3 Magazine app. We love you guys. Keep listening. We'll keep making awesome content. Thanks.